Well, my friends, it's time to break open God's Word first, even though it's Word of God Wednesday. Now, that's why I like Word of God Wednesdays. It's kind of like a twofer. You get two for one when it comes to breaking open God's Word. So today, we're going to look at, of course, the Psalms. And particularly, we're looking at today, Psalm 44, the first nine verses. So Psalm 44 is long. So it's one of those Psalms that we have to break into sections. And today we're going to look at the first nine verses. So if you grab your Bible, open up to the Psalm 44. And again, using the Revised Grail Liturgical Psalms. This is the one that we're using at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And so if you don't have this version, that's okay. Whatever version that you read and that speaks to your soul, that's the version that you should use. But you can follow along with us today. So Psalm 44. So the prescript is the entire first verse. Now remember, this psalm is in book two of the Psalms. So Psalms 42 to 72. Psalms 42 to 49 are attributed to the sons of Korah. Now remember, Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. So at the very beginning of Numbers chapter 16, we see the rebellion of Korah. And as a result of the rebellion, it says that the ground opened and swallowed Korah and his family. They went down alive to Sheol, the scripture says. It says that the followers of Korah were swallowed up by fire from heaven. The only ones that survived were the sons of Korah. And we can see that in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. So the sons of Korah. So now, these weren't obviously the physical sons, but those of followers of Korah who did not rebel, who did not fall away. These sons of Korah eventually became some of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple that David's established through the tribe of Levi. And so today's psalm, it says in the prescript, verse 1, for the choir master of the sons of Korah, a maskil. All right, so let's break that down. So sons of Korah, we just talked about Korah, for the choir master. So again, the sons of Korah wrote this psalm, and then they gave it to the choir master to put music to. Now, they could have put music to this psalm themselves. But for this particular psalm, they wanted the choir master to do it. So it was probably either Jeduthun, which means lauder or praiser, or it could have been Ethan or Eton, who is attributed to Psalm 89, whose the surname of him was Kishiah, or it could have been one of the other ones who wrote the music. So that's awesome. And a maskil. So maskil means enlightened one or scholar. Well, that's what it means today. Enlightened one or scholar. But of course, we don't know what that word meant back at the time that these psalms were written. So so take that for what it's worth. But I mean, this is a psalm that that does bring enlightenment. And so maybe that's part of it. So we start off in verse 2. We heard with our own ears, O God. Our forebears have declared to us the things you did in their days, you yourself, in days long ago. So the psalm, the sons of Korah start the psalm off by recognizing that that they've received the tradition. They received the teaching from the fathers that came before them. And it's beautiful, wonderful connection with us. We received the tradition that was handed down. Right? That's what tradition means. It means to be handed down from Jesus to the apostles, to the early church fathers, all the way down through the bishops and to us today in the magisterium of teaching authority in the church. So we've heard the things that were handed down to us in oral tradition and written tradition. Verse 3, with our own hands you drove out the nations, but them you planted. You brought affliction on the peoples, but them you set free. So they're remembering, here's some of the things we heard, that for the people of Israel, that you allowed them to grow and to flourish. But to the other nations, you drove them out to make room for your people to thrive and to grow. Right? And verse 4, no sword of their own won the land, No arm of their own brought them victory. It was your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you love them. I love this. What they're doing here is recognizing and acknowledging that any victories they have, that any good things that happened to them on this journey of faith was because it was the Lord. Not my own. I remember, it reminds me of Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. They're acknowledging the power and the authority of God working in their lives. It was God who brought them victory. It was God who was the progenitor of all the good things that are happening in their life. And that's something we need to recognize as well, right? That everything good that happens to us comes from God. Why? For you love them. Because just God did it out of love. No sense of agenda. He just did it out of love. And that's how we should act as well. We should be motivated to share our life with others, simply not looking for benefit, simply out of love.
Yeah, and I love that, because I remember, like, as a kid, we'd go to, like, vacation Bible school, and we made, like, these little arts and crafts things, and one of the phrases that I remember the teacher had put on was, everything comes from God, everything belongs to God. So it was a reminder of what we receive always is at his hand, and everything that he takes from us is for his good. Like, he gives us our talents, he gives us resources, he takes care of our bills, all those things. But if we remember that it all comes from him and belongs to him, he can take it away if we misuse it.
Yeah.
You know, and those things. And so, I mean, it's, and we've all seen that. Like, and then we blame ourselves. Well, you know, it's my fault that I don't have da 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 da. Well, God took it away because of, and now he's going to show you in plenty. You know, I mean, because sometimes we hold on to the things that we manifest and then go, God bless this. When he's like, no, that was never supposed to be yours to begin with. So I need you to let go, because I'm about to take it from you anyway.
Well, you know what, Asa, that's, wow. You know, what you said was so profound, because I'm thinking at a deeper level, you know, when someone dies that we love, God is in charge of life, and God can call that life back whenever he wants.
Sure.
It doesn't become so easy at that point.
Right.
You know, to recognize the beautiful truth that you just spoke about. But that's hard. I mean, for material things, okay, right? Because you can maybe even get those back. Look at Job. He had all the material things taken from him, you know, and then at the end, he was given that back plus more than what he had before because of his steadfastness and his trust in God. Like, I'm not talking about the gospel of prosperity here. We're not talking about material things being the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a person that we love, a life, you can't get that back.
Yeah.
But here's the beautiful part. Here's the beautiful part. You will see that person, well, God willing, you will see that person again and spend eternity with them in heaven. The material things that you get back, you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
So in the end, none of that stuff matters. You know?
And it's also a great reminder that God taking them may be a part of their healing. You know, we ask for them, please heal. And we don't want to, our brains won't let us accept, well, I prayed and he just took my dad. He took my mom and didn't heal them. Well, they're now perfect, right? The one thing I do not want is to see my parents or see any of my loved ones suffer, let alone if God says, well, the way to heal them, their body is done, so I'm taking them to come be with me so they can be complete again. While we still will miss them, like you said, the reward there is that we need to make sure we're in tune with God so that we see them when we get to heaven.
Yes, exactly right. And that's the hard part, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just something that, but it's a hard pill to swallow and to trust God. When he brings the healing that he wanted, but that we didn't expect.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Beautiful. And so continuing on here in verse 5, you are my king, O God. You command the victories for Jacob. Through you, we beat down our foes. In your name, we trampled our aggressors. So we have what's called the synonymous parallelism here. So in verse 4 is elaborated on verse 5 and 6. So now, what the sons of Korah are doing, they're explicitly saying now, you know, Lord, it was you who won the victories for us. Now, let me explain to you what's up in a little bit more detail what that means. You know, the command, you beat down our foes, we trampled our aggressors. You know, it was because of you, Lord, that I was able to conquer sin in my life. It was because of you, Lord, that I had the grace to be able to resist this temptation to sin against your holy name. It was because you, because of your will and my cooperating with the will and the grace of the sacraments, that I'm able to help the poor and do a beautiful. I love that. For it was not in my bow that I trusted, nor yet was I saved by my sword. It was you who saved us from our foes. Those who hate us, you put to shame. All day long, our boast was in God, and we will praise your name forever. I love that. So again, not in myself that I trusted, not in my own accomplishments, not in, yes, my talents and my gifts, but it was recognizing it was God who gave me those things in order to use them for the good of humanity and to glorify God. And again, all day long, our boast was not in ourselves, but in God. And we will praise God's name forever. So we always have to work to the best of our ability to honor the gifts that God has given us.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.